405 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and at least here in the center of the universe, still bright sunshine. I'm hoping it's that way for you as well, but just a heads up, it is looking more and more and more and more and more likely that before you and I part company at 1800, we'll have some torrential downpours. It looks like they're going to be with us through the evening, the overnight, into tomorrow. Yes, it is National Radio Day, and I had no idea that there were as many people who wanted to vent their spleen on the topic of National Radio Day, but I just want to share a couple of other texts that have come in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, talking about National Radio Day. Hey, Germ, do me a favor, would you please save me a piece of the cake? Because we had a cake, right? Did we not have, like, a big, giant cake for National Radio Day at the Radio Factory? Must have been. Must have been, like, a big, probably shaped like a microphone or something, or maybe shaped like a radio. Well, look in the kitchen. Open the fridge, because there's... Just save me a piece is all I'm asking. That's all. We do need to celebrate National Radio Day. And a cake would seem appropriate, right? Sandwiches, refreshments. I got another idea. Why don't... No. How about this? How about if we all just go bowling? And not like, you know, bowling for skinheads or skinhead bowling or whatever that song was that Heidi loves. No, no. I mean, like, just regular bowling. That would be a fun... yeah. Anyway, let me take a look here at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Now, I love the fact that there are folks jumping in. You know, the beautiful thing about Central Virginia, as far as I'm concerned, and granted, I've been here a long time, but we've got so many of us who are from elsewhere, right? We've got come-heres and from-heres, and it doesn't matter how long ago you came here, you're still, you know what I'm saying. But there are some folks weighing in with some amazing names, and I guarantee you some of these are going to be resonating with you. Taking a look at... 6681 says, Jeff, Jim Quinn and Rose Tennant and Fred Hornsberger in Pittsburgh, some of the finest talk radio people ever. You are absolutely correct. Roxana says, Jeff, I miss Rush Limbaugh. I would love to hear his thoughts on today's events. I love you, Jeff. I miss John Reed so much. Unlike some WRBA folks, I like Dana and I like Scott Lee. Keep up the good work. Roxana. All right. Well, thank you, Roxana. I will do my best. 804 says, Jeff, how about John Batchelor? Excellent. Excellent talent. And Bob Grant, get off my phone. It's a sick world out there, and it's just getting sicker. That was my first big national exposure, by the way. Filling in for the late, great Bob Grant. Used to have a national show on Westwood One that was a huge, huge thing at the time. And, I got to pinch hit for him, and it was great, great fun. 804, David in Midlothian says, how about Dick Whittington, mostly in the 60s and 70s in the Los Angeles area, although he was born in Philadelphia. A lot of people considered him a pre-Howard Stern Howard Stern. You know, it's interesting because as much as people either loved or despised Stern did talk radio. Now, Stern doesn't do anything at this point, right? He's dialed it back to, I think, 12 minutes every week is his work schedule, which is not bad. If you can get it, take it. But he was also doing talk radio, a very different type of talk radio. Some would argue a pretty disgusting type of talk radio, but it was still talk radio. I put all these guys on the list. I really do. 804, Jeff, WRBA's had some of the best of the best, from Alden Arrow to Doc Thompson to Jimmy Barrett, Tim Timberlane, you, John Reed. All you guys have been great. Also, Glenn Beck, I hate to not hear him on 1140 anymore. All right. John says, Jeff, back in the 60s, early 70s, there was a great rock station on the Big Lee that many of us listened to. Yeah. Again, there was a time when that radio umbrella encompassed so much. And today, I don't know. I mean, I love radio. I still love radio. I really do. I love what you're capable of doing with it. I love it when it's used properly. I love truly talented people. You know what I found throughout the years? Your degree of talent is in inverse proportion to your ego. The guys with the biggest egos are the ones that have the least amount of talent. The ones that are telling you how great they are the ones that, well, they got to tell somebody. Sex talk with Ruth. Dr. Ruth. Ah, that was talk, again, at a time when you did not have conversations about this sort of stuff, period, let alone with somebody's bubby in New York City. But sex talk with Dr. Ruth. I didn't even know in this day and age, 2026, if I could say the things that Dr. Ruth said back then. Maybe I could, maybe I couldn't. I don't know. It's weird. 804, Jeff, Brian Kilmeade. Yeah, Kilmeade's a good dude. 804, Jeff, we're all listening to you. So hats off to you, my friend. Well, thank you. This was not actually a way to troll for compliments, but, you know, I'm not above trolling for compliments, so thank you. 804 says, Jeff, I go back to Long John Nebel, WOR in New York City, as a teen staying up way too late. FYI, I am still listening on an actual radio, not the interwebs. Isn't that cool? How many of us still listen on actual radios? Again, people get so hung up on, what do we call this? How do we say it? How do we describe this? Is it, we're calling it National Radio Day, Jeff, but it's this or that. Listen, it is what it always has been. It's about providing information, conversation, content, right? That's the buzzword, content. Jan and Ashley says, Jeff, I loved Alden Arrow, Millard the Mallard, my old friend Tim Timberlake. I only listen to WRVA. I never turn it off on the weekdays. Okay. What are you going away on the weekends? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you were trying to say, Jan? Because that's how I took it. No, I'm not offended. But, you know, somebody might be. Big John Trimble, all-night truck driver show. Very cool. Remember the truck in Bozo? That was the guy out of Cincinnati. Great job. Gotta love Sean Hannity. Okay, yeah. Number of good things. All right, some stupid stuff about hating on Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. 804, Jeff, that Publix thing is about as dumb as somebody with a vagina saying they're a boy. Yes, if you had not heard yet, great reporting was part of the newscast with our dear friend, our news director, best news director at News Radio WRBA in the 14 years I've been here, Charles Pyle. Sarah Huffman did the story. Great job of reporting it. But what she's reporting is like six different types of stupid. Maybe seven if we're grading on a curve. Publix, a supermarket chain that, if we're talking about big, gigantic supermarket chains, that's my favorite. If we're talking about not quite as big, then obviously Tom Leonard, because Tom's a friend and his store is fantastic and TJ is a buddy. But of the bigs, Publix is my place. So Publix says, we're going to eliminate the item limit on the express lanes, but there's still going to be the express lanes. That doesn't work. It's like saying, this is the express train from Richmond to Boston. Okay. Now, what that means is we'll stop in Washington, D.C., we'll stop in Philadelphia, and we'll stop in New York, and then we'll stop in Boston. It's an express train. We go by the other stations. If, in fact, it's a local train that stops at every single solitary station, you can call it an express train, but it's not an express train. So, Publix, you can call it an express lane, but it's not. It just isn't. Oh, somebody's saying Michael Savage. Well, 916. When we come back, and we will momentarily, Germ, do not let me forget this. I will share one or two stories of Dr. Wiener, because that's his real name, Michael Wiener. I had the Well, I worked with the good Dr. Wiener, and I'll let you know a thing or two about him. We'll do that. We'll do that in a couple of moments. Rob Chadwick is going to be along. Rob, of course, retired FBI supervisory special agent, now the principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association Delta Defense. There's some dangerous things that have been in the news recently. State fairs, things of that sort that just went sideways real fast. We'll get some advice from Rob Chadwick on how to stay safe in those situations. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Rolling in here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Steve the painter says, Jeff, I was one of those music guys. Then I found Howard. That led to Rush, which led to you. Ooh, see? A nice, like, yellow brick road. I like that. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that, and I do appreciate you listening. Kristen from Ashland says, Jeff, I think you are a great radio show host. Well, Kristen, I think you are a great radio texter. You make me and my family laugh at your quick jokes. If only I had something funny to say there, that would be good. Big John Trimble, late night on WRVA. Jeff, I listen on AM. I am old school. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Jeff, how about WABC in New York? Wolfman Jack. Wolfman Jack was an amazing talent. And he was actually doing talk radio, even though he was doing music radio. And for the record, since it's Wolfman Jack, he was a great guest on my talk radio program. No, he's a really, really funny guy. Super, super funny guy. Jeff, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Dennis Miller. I also enjoyed that that trio. I think that Dennis Miller was really a very talented radio guy. Wasn't really his initial entree, but he did a great, great job. Jeff, I grew up in New York City. John Gambling, Rambling with Gambling, Howard Stern, Don Imus. Don Imus was one of the worst human beings on the face of the planet. Oh, my God, what a miserable, miserable person. And I can say that, having interacted with him. Also, Michael Wiener. God. You are going to have to buy the book. That's all I'm going to tell you. But I can tell you this, that at the radio station in San Francisco where I worked with Wiener, he thought he had his own studio. Now, he had been told, don't come into the radio factory because, well, frankly, nobody wanted him there and nobody wanted to work near him. And so they quote, built him a radio station at his house. Which back in the day really meant something. Now, you know, you flip a switch, you got a station at your house. But here's the deal. He was convinced that there was an actual studio at the radio station that only he was allowed to use. There was a cardboard sign with Velcro. That studio was used all the time by everybody until such time as the good doctor had his servant, I mean, that seemed to be like his personal assistant, would call ahead and say, Dr. Savage will be in later today, which meant one of us had to go and get that cardboard sign out of the closet and put it up on the Velcro on that door so that he believed that it was still just his studio, even though, again, it was, it was everybody's studio. Very weird. Very weird. 804 says, Jeff, about these express lanes and Publix, I went to the grocery store with my dad after my mom passed away. He always went to the shortest line, and I'd be so embarrassed because he would have an entire cart full, and we'd ask this lane. So embarrassed. Sometimes the cashier would catch him, but he did not care. Well, I'm just going to say this, Nanny Jan. He was the problem. You told me, and obviously you already knew. Art Bell and Larry King, Jeff, when he did overnights. Yeah, absolutely. Solid, solid folks. Some good stuff there. All right, we got a lot of other stuff that we have got to talk about. Our good friend Rob Chadwick is going to be along. Retired FBI supervisory special agent, headed up all the tactical training for the Bureau up in Quantico for many, many years now. The principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association Delta Defense. events. We got some safety tips, if nothing else, from Rob Chadwick. A little insight that everybody needs. Oh, and Tony Pham, former ICE director, will be with us at 5:35. It is 4:27. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Any chance that Publix, as they are engaged in this recall of their blueberries, will they be processing them through the former express lanes that are now just lanes? If you didn't hear that earlier, Publix has announced that they are changing the way express lanes work. Instead of having a limit of, say, 10 items, there will be no limit. Dear Publix, that means it's not an express lane. It's a little bit like Amtrak saying, well, we're stopping at every station, but we swear it's an express train. No, it's not. I'm going to leave that there. This is going to disturb me for a long, long time. Rob Chadwick will probably be able to talk me off the ledge, although I've got to figure that Brother Chadwick is none too happy with that, because I think Rob knows how to count. And, if you have more than 10 items in the express lane, it's not an express lane, and terrible things could happen. Rob, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Jeff, it's always great to be with you. As long as I can get my public sub out of there as quickly as possible, I'm still happy.
All right. Look at you. Look at you. A master of diplomacy, this Rob Chadwick is. I knew you were a good guy. Let me remind everybody about Rob's background. Retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, headed up all the TAC training for the Bureau up at Quantico, former Fairfax County police officer, proud son of the Old Dominion State, now the primary training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association, Delta Defense. Rob, I got to ask you about the Wisconsin State Fair. There was all sorts of nonsense that happened there. Tell everybody what happened and, frankly, how we handle a situation like this.
Jeff, this is a disturbing trend where, you know, the latest iteration, unfortunately, was up in the Wisconsin State Fair. State, I spend a lot of time, it's where the USCCA is based, and, great people, incredible state, very, very similar in many ways to the Commonwealth of Virginia. And, this one happened at the Wisconsin State Fair, where most people love to take their families. There's, it should be a great place to go. And yet, once again, we see the sort of euphemistically referred to teen takeover. And what it was just a violent mob of younger people that just got out of control quickly, and it turned incredibly violent, incredibly chaotic, and overwhelmed almost immediately the law enforcement, uniform law enforcement response that was there. Officers were injured, had to be taken away, families were injured, people were running for their lives, or gunfire erupted. And we're seeing this, Jeff, more and more and more. They had one not too long ago in Charleston, South Carolina. And, it's happening everywhere. And it's being filmed and, of course, glorified on social media. And now these young, people are, aspiring to copy that, right? There's nothing better than a copycat for social media. And so, it's all fun and games until people get hurt. And yet there's so little consequences for these things right now that, the real tragedy is most people now say, well, I just won't go there anymore. I won't take my family to, the state fair, the county fair, whatever the public gathering is that could turn chaotic. And the reality is anything, anytime, anywhere could turn chaotic. And, the question is, are you able to spot that development as it's happening, as it's unfolding? And have you made the decision to leave quickly before it all happens?
Great points. I remind everybody, Rob Chadwick is joining us, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, principal training advisor now, U.S. Concealed Carry Association, Delta Defense. Rob, we had something like that in Henrico a couple of months back, one of these teen takeovers. They took over a rather upscale mall in Short Pump, and the worst part about it was that we then had politicians, far left-wing politicians, telling us, oh, that didn't happen. And we sat, I say we, because pretty much everybody in Central Virginia sat and watched the video that was posted by the hooligans themselves as the
Jeff, I'm back. You were talking about what had happened up in RICO, and
yeah.
My comment was going to be, you know, denial ain't just a river in Africa, right?
That's right.
You know, don't let the facts get in the way of a good narrative. But
that's right.
You're exactly right, Jeff. What we see, these things are happening more and more. And you know, 10 or 15 years ago, when the internet was kind of new and people had smartphones, these flash mobs, and you know, they'd show up at a mall and do a choreographed dance or something like that.
Yes.
Now it's taken a dark turn. Right now, it is a violent. People are getting beaten, and what we're seeing, unfortunately, is very, very rarely are these perpetrators brought to justice.
Right.
They know they can overwhelm law enforcement. And in many cases, law enforcement are handcuffed, literally handcuffed, and told, yeah. "All right, just you know, don't actually arrest these people." And so, really, it comes down to, what are we going to do? Yeah. What are you going to do as a person who has maybe your family out at a gathering?
Yeah.
You know, the USCCA you talked about. You know, we obviously a firearms training organization, but really, Jeff, the focus of most of that training, of that self-defense and awareness training, needs to be paying attention to what's going on around you,
yep.
So that you have enough time to make a decision to leave before it ever gets violent. That is the key to safety.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Rob. You talk about law enforcement being handcuffed. Your old stomping grounds of Fairfax. You've got a Commonwealth's attorney there who loves criminals, hates cops. We've got the same thing in Henrico, a Commonwealth's attorney who hates the cops, loves the criminals, doesn't prosecute anybody for anything. So we are left to look out for ourselves. What about the plan? Let's say I do say to Heidi, okay, you, me, the kids, a couple of folks, whoever it is, we're going to the fair. What sort of planning do we have to do ahead of time to kind of stay on guard?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jeff. And the first thing is to have just a candid acknowledgement. Hey, guys, we're going out. We're going to have a great time. The likelihood of something bad happening is pretty low, but it could happen, right? The acknowledgement that it could happen. And then the reassurance to the loved ones. Listen, if something happens, we have a plan, and here it is. We are going to meet at, right? And so typically what you want to do is pick a location that, you know, not everybody and their brother is going to pick, right? You don't say, hey, meet at the Eiffel Tower at King's Dominion in case something bad happens.
That's
everyone's
right.
Going to pick that, right? Yeah. So something that you can pick out on the skyline that's easy to navigate to in case you get separated, in case things get really crazy. You have to assume that your cell phones aren't going to work. Maybe the signals are jammed or just the network is jammed.
Yep.
But, hey, if we get separated and things break bad, we all know we're going to meet up at, you know, wherever that location is. Everyone acknowledges it, understands it, is capable of getting back to that, and then empower them to say, listen, if there's any question that things are getting a little bit out of control, it's time to go. Not time to stand there and film it, not try to get on YouTube, that sort of thing. Try to get out of there, put time and distance and some sort of barricades, if possible, between you and whatever that developing situation is. Almost certainly it doesn't involve you. Almost certainly you have no idea what level of violence those people are capable of reaching quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what always happens, Jeff. And the tragedy is they never thought it would happen here, never thought it would happen to them, and they waited too late to get out of there.
Yeah. You have obviously very personal experience. You're a tech graduate, as I recall. You dealt with that situation, the same sort of things we see popping up, sadly, on college campuses and high school environments. Somebody's coming in, they're going to do something evil. Some people have thought ahead. Some people have thought, okay, well, in the event things go sideways, there's an exit over this way and I'm going. If you haven't done that, man, you have consigned yourself in many cases to a very bad spot, I guess, is the nicest way that I can say it.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, the behavioral analysis unit right up the road from you at Quantico studies these tragedies, right? And the number one most common denominator amongst those people who have achieved a positive outcome during a crisis is that they had thought about what they would do ahead of time, right? They had come up with a plan, a simple plan. But most importantly, they acknowledge it could happen, and I have a plan to deal with that, because under a sudden, unexpected existential crisis, your human brain is simply going to shut down. You're not going to rise to the occasion. You're going to fall back on your training. And if you don't have a training or a plan to fall back on, there is nothing there. And so you mentioned Virginia Tech. I saw it firsthand in Charleston at the attack there. Yeah. So many of those innocent victims are literally overcome by events. We talk about fight or flight. That third F is always freeze. And that is typically what happens. It's that deer in the headlights, right? They freeze. Yep. And so they are left at the mercy of the evildoer.
What do we do in the civilian world? You and I, and you far more than I. I mean, this is what you did at Quantico. You took those agents and you made sure that they were training. And as Colonel Grossman says, as you just said, you don't rise to the occasion. You fall back on that training, what you're already ready to do. But what about for Jeff and Heidi? We're just happy suburban civilians, Rob, and maybe we're going to the fair. Maybe we're going out to dinner. Are we supposed to run drills in the house? What do we do to game plan this?
Jeff, the most important thing, and far and away, the best investment of your time and resources is mentally. It really is. That's the biggest difference. I had 26 weeks with our trainees at Quantico, but if I only had an hour, it would be devoted to mentally preparing them, putting them in that headspace that, listen, this can happen to me. And what am I going to do about it? The physical training comes later, whether it's weapons proficiency, whatever you want to train, all that is secondary to mental acknowledgement. It could happen. And preparation, what are you going to do about it? Everything else flows from that. You're wasting your time if you haven't acknowledged yourself that this could happen to me realistically. Yep. And then I am going to do something about it. I am absolutely committed to doing something, taking some action to protect myself and my family.
That's the first obstacle. Let's not kid ourselves. You have a lot of people who grew up in what they are convinced is essentially Mayberry, right? I mean, nothing bad ever happens here. I'm going to be good. If Rob and Jeff are talking about bad things happen, man, they're just obsessed with this. They're crazy. I'm going to be over here. Those are people setting themselves up to be victims. And
yeah, you know, let me reframe people's thoughts, right? I don't want people to think that, oh, these doom and gloom. I actually have a very positive outlook on life, and I'm very confident because I know from experience that I do have a plan, and I know how much better my chances are because of that plan of achieving a positive outcome in the unlikely event that something catastrophic happens. I've thought about it. Therefore, I have the earned confidence to go forward and enjoy my life.
There you go. Do me a favor, remind everybody about your book, because your book absolutely tackles this right from page one, situational awareness, getting yourself in the right headspace, and I just want more people to read it.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, no, it's the Practical Guide to Personal Security. It's available on Amazon. The landing page for it is practicalsecurityguide.com, and it literally is just, you know, chapter after chapter of hopefully very straightforward lessons on how to think about this, how to have conversations with loved ones about this. There's a chapter in there about taking your kids off to college, getting them prepared for the challenges ahead of them, not to scare them, again, to empower them to enjoy their time away from home under that protective wing, right? That's the tough part for a parent, is you want to have that conversation, you want to have it not to scare the kid, but to really empower them to go explore and learn and you know, push some boundaries, but do it as safely as possible.
I love it. Rob, I always am so grateful to you for making time for us. We'll look forward to chatting again in a week or so. That is the great Rob Chadwick. I remind you, Rob, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, principal training advisor for U.S. Concealed Carry Association. If you carry and you are not a member of USCCA, don't take this the wrong way, but you're a fool. I would urge you, go to the USCCA website, get yourself signed up. I am a longtime member. In fact, I just renewed my membership. Very, very, very happy about that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. How many items for the express lane? There you go. That's my question. 10 has always been the reasonable number. That is what is in place at supermarkets all over, I dare say, all around the world. I think it's Catherine who said at Food Lion, it's 12. Okay, I'll take 12. All I want to know is a number. I want a number. So when Publix says we're doing away with the number, then you're really doing away with the express lane. That's what you're doing. And you cannot tell me that it remains an express lane if somebody has 80 items. It's not. It's just a lane. Now, if you just want to say, you know what? We're doing away with all express lanes. We're going to have nothing but lanes. Fair enough. At least you're being honest. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but you're being honest about it. You cannot say that this remains an express lane and just do away with the item limit. Now, there's always been that option, right? If you're the only person there, or all the other lanes are taken, and there's nobody behind you, and you've got 20 items, and that cashier says, no, come on over here, I'll take care of you. That's fine. But that's the choice of the cashier. That's the responsibility of the cashier. That's a professional operation. But if you do away with that number, I'm sorry. It's no longer an express lane. I'm still going to patronize Publix for some of the big stuff, but I'm not going to be happy about that. That's all I'm going to say. Tony Pham is going to be with us, former director of ICE at 5:35. It is 4:57. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.